Tempe Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Damley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Had our talk about the tight ends. We had a talk with Zach Hicks over the Senior Bowl, the draft, underclassmen, the seniors, the whole shebang. And now we are getting into receivers as we continue through each positional rankings, kind of what we're going to see in free agency, the draft, all that good stuff kind of combined. So we're going to move on to the Colts receivers here that they've got. They still currently have a ton of guys still on the roster, but there are a significant amount of those who are going to be free agents this year. I mean, Inman, Pascal, Ryan Grant, Fountain, Hilton, Chester Rogers. They've obviously got some other guys in there with Krishan Hogan, Steve Ishmael. You know, some of these guys have gotten futures contracts and so on and so forth. But the main idea, you know, I mean, you've also got Deion Kane. Don't forget about him. Marcus Johnson, James Wright. We've got a lot of guys in this mix. And, you know, Kane would be probably the next guy up that you would consider, you know, who's not one of the free agents of this group. But you've also got to consider that they love Darius Fountain. They're definitely going to try to continue to build on him and really get him worked into seeing what he could possibly be next year, I think, without question. So they've got some guys that they can build off of T.Y. Hilton. Now, whether they choose to go all the way through with that or, you know, go with some guys in the draft, maybe hit a guy up in free agency or something, I don't know. But we're going to talk about the guys who are free agents right now for the Colts first and foremost. Ryan Grant is a one-year contract they gave him last year. Obviously, you guys remember kind of the thing with how he was signed in Baltimore. They negated that contract with like a failed physical designation or something like that. Then the Colts went and scooped him up for a year. You know, kind of seemed like they were in love with him early on in the season. Was basically non-existent after about halfway through the season for the rest of the year. So, I mean, $5 million for a one-year contract is what he got. I just don't see that he is going to – I just don't see him coming back. I just don't think he brought enough. I don't think he is, you know, really consistent enough. I don't think he does much when he does get the ball in his hands. And he's 28. That's not some sort of a break-off age necessarily if you're productive, but the fact remains is he's just not, you know, he's just not not great. He just didn't prove enough, in my opinion, especially when he wasn't getting the snaps over some other guys like Pascal and some others. So, I mean, you got to look at that. Looking at another guy on the Colts roster right now, Dontrell Inman, who is also in that age range where it gets tricky. But, man, he was such a pivotal part of the Colts this year. You could tell that Andrew Luck really liked him. I wouldn't mind them bringing him back, even if you don't see him into a fifth wide receiver role or something of that sort. I'd bring him back on another one-year contract. I don't think that can hurt anything. They paid him less than $1 million last year. I think that that's kind of smart money, in my opinion. You saw him gel really well into the offense. Luck was targeting him a lot on third downs. He's definitely a guy that you can use – and know that he is going to be as precise a route runner as he can be. He's going to be one of those perfect veteran receivers that are going to make those big catches, whether they climb into the 50-catch rank or just whatever. I think Inman would be a smart re-sign, just if nothing else, to see if he can last through camp and, you know, nobody can beat him out, honestly. Because I think that you're going to see, just like every year, you see a ton of corners and a ton of wide receivers in camp. This is, to me, like I said, smart money. You're going to pay maybe $1 million, maybe not. And that's just, you know, for that kind of veteran leadership on the field, for sure, I don't think that you can really go wrong with a re-signing of him, you know, just kind of getting it out of the way. He's unrestricted, of course. So is Ryan Grant. So I don't see either one of those guys really getting, you know, major money anyways. So Grant, I wouldn't worry about it at all. Inman, I wouldn't necessarily worry about him. I just think he would be, you know, smart, simple, easy, and fairly cheap payday to get him in there and keep him for another year. Chester Rogers, 25 years old, coming into a year where, you know, he had a quality year, played a little bit better towards the end of the season. I just don't know that he adds enough to the team for the Colts to really worry about him. He is a restricted free agent, so they Colts get him, you know, get a shot at him first to try to re-sign him. But if he gets, you know, free agency, I don't know that that's something that the Colts would be too worried about. I just don't think that he would be maybe a guy that they would even stress over, to be honest with you. I think they may try to re-sign him to a soft deal. I don't think that he's earned a huge payday by any stretch. You know, he had drops earlier in the season. Just an average wide receiver that you have on the team. He's young enough. Maybe you do give him that deal. Again, can he make it through camp and remain inside of the top four or five receivers? I don't know. I just kind of depends, I suppose. But when you look at the other guys like Zach Pascal and Marcus Johnson, both guys, along with, you know, a couple of these others who were mixed in this year, really did pretty well. They did their part. We saw Zach Pascal have some kind of breakout moments, not necessarily breakout games or anything like that, but we saw the touchdown he had, and now I'm blanking on, I think it was about week 12, and he breaks off this amazing route in the corner of the end zone, a double move, completely separates himself from the corner. So you see some of the precise route running that he would need, you know, to be, because he doesn't have necessarily, I wouldn't say top level speed. He's got good speed, but he's lanky enough, and if he's technical enough, he can really become a really good wide receiver. So I'm thinking that the Colts might see some of the potential in him, obviously, as a just 24-year-old guy, brand right into the league. I don't think that you can really go wrong with that. And he is an exclusive rights guy, so the Colts obviously have first dibs on him as well, and I'm sure that he'll have no problem. Marcus Johnson was a guy who was brought in a trade that they did for Darryl Daniels with Seattle. And we heard Frank Reich rave about this guy, that he loved him and loved his potential. I think that he'll probably get a one-year contract as well to stick around. I think some of these core guys will get one-year contracts because simply they're just going to be cheap. And, I mean, it's not that I think the Colts should bring back their entire wide receiver core, you know, here, aside from maybe Ryan Grant. Don't know really about what they would plan to do with Rodgers. But Pascal's only a year younger than he and Marcus Johnson, so you've got to consider that they're all fairly youthful. My point is more along the lines of the fact that why not? Why not bring these guys who are comfortable in the system? Why not go ahead and make additional moves in the offseason? This is a really interesting position for me for the Colts, because I think that they've obviously got the money. They should go out there, maybe try to get themselves a top, you know, number two possibly receiver who's available in free agency that's wisely priced. Or maybe they just wait and go to the draft and try to find a guy there. I mean, I think that they could do a lot with this position. They could do something, in my opinion, in all three avenues. They could sign a couple of these guys back. They could sign a guy in free agency outside of their team. And I think they could make a move in the draft at some point. And I don't see that any of that would be a problem. So I kind of think this is one of those positions for the Colts where they could really make some impact in this offseason, is this receiver group. They could do, like I said, possibly all three phases of the offseason, maybe just one or two. But either way, they could bring in some quality talent and really kind of get this receiver core kind of squared away. You know, I mean, we've got T.Y. Hilton, who obviously had another big year and was fantastic. We see the chemistry with him and Andrew Luck is just right there all the time. We saw Andrew Luck really spread the ball around too. So the Colts understand that they don't have to pay somebody, you know, $20 million a year to come in there and be a part of basically a platoon wide receiver core as well, for the most part. Obviously, they have the targets. You know, obviously, Hilton had the most targets. But you look at Eric Ebron as a tight end, had the number two targets on the team and receptions. So that's something that these guys, when they come in, are going to have to understand. But these are also things that good quality number two receivers could probably do that some of the guys who aren't actually on the roster right now cannot do. I mean, we didn't see Chester Rogers blow anybody out after the catch this year. Zach Pascal, neither him. I mean, we didn't see anybody really do a ton of that. That's something that this offense desperately needs is yak. Can they find, you know, a wide receiver in either the free agency pool that's out there or in the draft who can really do something after the catch. That is, I mean, look, Hilton's over the top for the most part. He is an all three levels receiver. He doesn't get credit for it enough, but he is. But he's that guy who's really going to take the top off the defense every time. The Colts have a couple of possession guys. For example, if they were to re-sign Inman or, you know, even Pascal, who could be a quality possession guy, but can also do some intermediate routes and get free as well. They find that number two guy who can be the underneath or the second level receiver who could really do something after the catch. That breaks this offense open, in my opinion. I just don't think that the Colts had a bunch of that this year, and that's one of those places where the Colts find a little bit of their weakness, if in my opinion. So looking for that, we're going to go ahead after this. We're going to talk about the free agency pool out there right now, kind of looking at some of the younger guys maybe to see if any of these guys might fit what the Colts are looking for in the offseason. So we'll be right back after a quick break, and we'll talk about the free agency pool throughout the rest of the NFL. All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to look at the rest of the NFL's group of free agents here. Looking at some of the younger guys that, you know, had some quality production here. This is a kind of a different group, but it's a group that offers a little bit of everything, in my opinion, and we'll kind of have to see how some of these other guys are going to shake out between restricted free agents, you know, and stuff, exclusive rights. There's not a whole lot of those guys that are going to make a major break, but we'll see. There's kind of a couple different levels here. So looking at, you know, a guy like Adam Humphries, who as far as the free agency pool goes right this minute, he's the most productive in yardage, had 5 touchdowns last year, 76 catches. He is from Tampa Bay, 26 years old. He's getting a solid payday, just under $3 million last year. I don't think that that's too much to ask for a guy who could, you know, do that for you. I think that you look at his average, not great, just under 11 yards a catch. He's not that breakaway guy. He's not that yak guy. Kind of maybe look past him. Golden Tate this year didn't have a great year, under 11 yards a catch as well. Was productive, getting some, you know, end zone or getting in the end zone and stuff like that. But this isn't an offense with the Colts that has a lot of issues getting into the end zone once they're in the red zone, right? We saw Eric Ebron obviously catch a ton of balls in the red zone. The Colts were pretty solid and effective in the running game inside of the red zone. We saw some other stuff go on, but really that's he just doesn't present. If that's him, if that's who Adam Humphries is at 26 years old, then I just don't see that that's something that the Colts are really should be looking at right now. You need a guy who might be a little bit more of that breakout type of receiver in terms of yak. Looking at Robbie Anderson, he's another guy. 6 touchdowns last year, 15 yards a catch, 50 balls last year, and, you know, took a ton of snaps, but he was in New York, rookie quarterback, you know, wasn't exactly something that he could really progress, but still caught 6 scores, good average. That might be something the Colts want to look at. He is a restricted free agent, though, so the Jets would have to want to part ways with him more or less, or just not offer him what, you know, what other teams won't pay. But I think that he'll be a commodity this year at some point. You know, not a massive guy or anything like that, but long enough and lanky enough, got some good speed downfield and effective when he does catch the ball. Obviously, Josh Gordon is a guy who's considered to be a restricted free agent right now. I don't see I think that New England, you know, is kind of in his ballpark, and that's about it as far as the rest of the NFL, depending on really what his legal issues are. That's something that, you know, we just won't know until a later time. John Brown was real effective this year after not being great in Arizona the year previous. He's 29, 17 yards a catch, though, 5 touchdowns. Good quality production from him. Looking at another guy, Tyrell Williams, 27 years old, from the Chargers. He is an unrestricted free agent at this point, almost 16 yards per catch, 5 touchdowns, played all 16 games, so the guy is in there. Looking at another guy here who I think has some real talent, but he's a restricted guy for Cleveland, and that's Rashard Higgins. I think that he's a guy who could really add to what the Colts are trying to do. I think he's strong enough, he's fast enough, and he's got enough of the natural footwork and body control that the Colts would be looking for in this receiving core. Almost 15 yards a catch last year, 4 touchdowns, not a ton of snaps, 13 games, under 600 total receiving yards. But I think that he did enough to kind of get himself some noticed around the league if for some reason the Browns do not want to re-sign him. Devin Funchess, another guy, not a real speed demon guy, 12 yards a catch, a little bit more than that, you know, 4 touchdowns, though, kind of a red zone threat. I don't know if the Colts, like I said, are really looking for something like that. But there's the Chris Hogans of the world and the Cole Beasleys, who are both 30 years old. You know, you can kind of look at them and wonder what they get there. Hogan might be one of the guys who would be more but he's not a big yak guy, but he's effective and he can run the deeper routes and be effective because he is a quality route runner. But like I said, he and Beasley, both good route runners. Beasley was only just over 10 yards a catch this year, you know, with plus 700 snaps. So, I mean, there's a bunch of guys in here. Randall Cobb getting close to 30, Kelvin Benjamin, Jermaine Kearse. I mean, Breshad Perriman. There are a ton of guys on this list, and I think that the Colts could easily grab a couple of them, you know. So I don't think that that's something that wouldn't happen. I don't think that that's probably something that shouldn't happen. I just think more along the lines of this is a group, from my perspective, that is really probably a very good number two, number three receiver bunch. I think a lot of these guys are falling into that category. I don't see any of them that I would consider to be top level talent, you know, like a true number one, in my opinion. I mean, Gordon has the potential to be and is good enough to be, but, you know, he's 28. He's a head case. I mean, he spent more time in his NFL career off the field than he has on the field. And, you know, I don't want to say he's a head case, but just for whatever, you know, reason, that's just not even, in my opinion, an option for what the Colts are doing. So it's not even worth talking about. Otherwise, you've got, you know, a couple guys like David Moore in Seattle, who's only 24. He's an exclusive rights free agent for Seattle. So I wouldn't really look for him to go anywhere. 5 touchdowns this year and had over 17 yards per catch. So, I mean, he's an effective guy. There's a couple other guys here. I mean, Breshad Perriman, who only had just a little over 200 snaps, was very effective, though, over 20 yards per catch, and he's only 25. It kind of just depends on what you're looking for. Do you think he could really do that in any kind of sort of consistent basis or not? I don't know. Cody Latimer, Russell Shepard, they're both on here, but, I mean, neither one of them played even more than 250 snaps. So you're not looking at guys who are big-time, snap break. I mean, these guys aren't going out there every snap. These guys are rotational guys. They just are effective. So there's going to be a lot of sifting through the majority of what the Colts have to do in order for them to really find if they want something like this out of free agency. Yes, I think they could make a couple moves, but I don't see that top tier guy who's really going to command a lot of money. If there's a trade involved, I think obviously we need to at least talk about Brown. I don't think that the Colts would be interested in that. And I don't think that the Steelers would even want to trade Antonio Brown within the conference. Okay. I mean, maybe, but man, that just does not seem like it would be Chris Ballard's forte. I mean, we talk about this with Le'Veon Bell situation. And obviously Antonio Brown could be a top 2-3 receiver in the league. But I mean, yes, I suppose that the Colts could, you know, use something like that. But what else are you getting with it? You're getting a guy who's going to be part of a platoon that wants to be the guy. The Colts have T.Y. Hilton. I don't think T.Y. would have too many problems moving to a number two type role in that regard. But at the same time, if Brown ever stops getting fed, you know, number one targets, that presents a problem for the entire organization. The offense, his relationship with Andrew Luck, his relationship with Frank Reich, how all that, what kind of dynamic does that bring to an offense that really, and not just that, but we talk about the culture, but the culture obviously is real. Okay. Chris Ballard has made it a real thing. Frank Reich has made it a real thing. These guys have done it. They've gotten these guys all buying in. And if they bring a guy in like that, that would excite the room. Don't mistake that. That's not the part that we need to question. What we need to question is, does bringing him into the room eventually tear the room down? And that's what we've seen in Pittsburgh with both Le'Veon and Antonio Brown. He's kind of making that room, you know, even some of the Steelers have called it more like a soap opera. You know, it's just they're always dealing with something. They just want to play football. Somebody even said, you know, can we stop being the Kardashians and just be the Steelers? You know, that's kind of what they feel. And if, you know, sometimes a change of scenery is in order and can be super beneficial for both the player and the team, I just don't know if that is what the Colts would want to do right now. It just seems like it doesn't seem like a move that Chris Ballard would make given where the Colts are legitimately at in this rebuild. Yes, they went to the playoffs this year. Should we expect that from now on every year? I think they're a player or two or maybe even three away from even really saying this is a playoff team every single year. They've got Andrew Luck. That's great. He's awesome. He does great, and he took the Colts for the most part by the back of their shirts through to the playoffs this year. There's no question of that. But, I mean, the Colts don't have an elite defense right now. They had a defense last year that played really good and had an awesome year. Can you look to the defense to do that next year? That's a really hard thing to do. Top-level defenses aren't top-level every year, every year. There are a few and very few teams who are able to do that. So do I think that that's something that they could rise to? Yes. But I think if you took virtually the same group and played an entire 16-game season again with them, I don't know that they would be quite that, you know, productive. I mean, I'm just saying that I don't think that the odds are in that favor. It's like if you play this game 15 times, who wins? I don't think that if you play three seasons with that same Colts defense that you probably get one that was as successful as they were in 2018, if that makes any sense. It's just my outlook on it. I think there are a few players away on defense. I think there's still another interior lineman in order to have that quality depth for if somebody goes down, and probably another tackle, and probably, you know, up to Marlon Mack really breaking out in the backfield, and a couple guys as a receiver from legitimately saying this is one of the best rosters in the AFC. Not only that, they've got to compete with guys who are legitimately going to be changing their style again and understanding they have to disrupt Andrew Luck and get guys who can bat the ball at the line of scrimmage. That's something that the Colts are going to have to fight. Andrew Luck's going to have to fight that. And, you know, Frank Reich, for that matter, is going to have to design plays around keeping that from being an issue every year. So the Colts are a little ways away from actually getting that, like, that guaranteed playoff success or playoff, you know, confidence from the national media or from other teams or anything like that. So just in general, the team could do a little bit everything from this wide receiver group, and I just think it wouldn't be enough. You know, at the same time, you don't bring somebody in that could be toxic to the locker room, toxic to the end result of what the Colts are wanting to accomplish right now. And Chris Ballard certainly, in my opinion, does not seem to be the guy right now to trade anything away to possibly bring that into your locker room. Not as hard as he's been fighting to keep from doing that. So that's what we've got on the wide receivers, guys. Thank you again for coming back to the show. We'll talk offensive line next, and I think we've got a lot to talk about with that group as well. I mean, obviously they were successful, but you know, we've got some of the things that have happened in the past several days, plus we've got some things to look forward to, and as we talked about just a moment ago, the depth of that line is something that's going to have to continually be looked upon to improve. So thank you guys again for listening. Obviously get to iTunes and check us out, give us a rating and review please, and always get to Stampede Blue for all of your Indianapolis Colts news and notes. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.